Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. But it's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when everyone's buying a new phone for Christmas and they want to know what to buy. And we're the ones that tell them. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way. And it's funny that you start with the Christmas reference, because I feel like the moment Halloween ends, everyone kicks into Christmas mode, even though it's almost 2 months away.
Yeah, everyone's
Christmas mode.
It's pretty unavoidable. The holiday rush. I mean, to be honest, I was, when was this? This was like at the very beginning, the very beginning of October. I was with my grandmother. We were taking her to Michael's because she needed to get some supplies for framing her paintings. And they already had Christmas stuff out. This was like October 8th, I want to say. Almost a month ago.
And they already had Christmas going.
Well, not going, but it was available.
They were starting. They had Christmas starting.
We had some early stage Christmas accoutrement that was just starting to sprinkle. And I remember thinking, I was like, look, I know that for basically my entire life, the whole Christmas craze has been creeping up and up and up. It used to start after Black Friday. And then it started sort of mid-November. They would start saying, hey, we're not saying it's Christmas yet, but we're saying, look, how far away is it really? It's going to be here before you know it, right? But now, I mean, frankly, I'm surprised they don't just start selling wreaths in February.
I mean, I think that's the future that we're going towards. I opened the Target app today, and I got this like full screen banner that's like, Christmas is coming. Shop all the Christmas deals or whatever it was. I don't know.
Oh, God. But,
like, and I was like, hang on a second. Look, I'm a red-blooded American, and I'm a notorious Christmas enjoyer, celebrator. We all know how much I love Chris, how much Noah Rubin loves Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, this guy, but, this guy's a big Christmas guy. I mean, you look at this guy and you think, oh, yeah, he for sure has 7 to 12 novelty sweaters with Christmas puns adorning them. They light up. They've got tassels. They've got little things that you can pull on and it makes noise. This guy does Christmas like nobody else.
Oh yeah, I am not only holly, I am also indeed jolly. But despite all of that, even I think it's a little bit early to be starting all of this.
Well, and for someone as Christmas oriented as you, that's hard to hear. And frankly, I'm taking it to heart. I'm saying, look, something needs to change, right? This has gone too far. But in the meantime, as everyone's getting all excited about these Christmas accoutrements, as Noah is decking his halls, as it were, it is also the time of year that everybody starts to upgrade their tech. Because for whatever reason, everyone just needs they need an excuse. They need an excuse. And companies are more than happy to move that excuse up a couple of days, weeks, and months. In fact, I haven't even gotten... I'm still packing skeletons back into my closet. And I'm all of a sudden, now I got to pull out the tinseltoe? My goodness.
Well, you got a lot of skeletons in your closet. Both literal and metaphorical.
I mean, I was going to say, look, I'm putting in all my Halloween skeletons. There's so many other skeletons in there, I don't know where to fit them, let alone all the tinsel, all the, you know, the little treetop and angels. We're not even touching on my nativity scenes, okay? I've got mangers. I've got wise men. Wise men bumping up against skeletons. It's a goddamn mess in there, let me tell you.
Oh, jeez.
The myrrh is mixing with the frankincense. It's a nightmare.
Oh my, that sounds untenable.
So stupid.
Oh God.
But anyway, I mean, look, this year, it's always interesting because September and early October, that's when the tech enthusiasts go out. That's when iPhone Airs and iPhone Pros fly off the shelves. But now that November has hit the calendar, the tides are turning. The 17s are going to be going bazonkas.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, yeah, we're getting to the point where, you know, it's a lot more of the consumers purchasing, right? When the new phones come out, it's all the Apple enthusiasts and the experts. And then you wait a month, you know, a couple months, you get to the holiday season. I mean, my mom texted me the other day, love my mom. She texted me and said, should I upgrade to iOS 26? And I was like, well, I've been using iOS 26 for a month now. You know, it's old news at this point. But, you know, that's it's a different kind of consumer. And so I absolutely agree. We'll get into it. But the 17 was a great phone this year. And I'm sure that, you know, a lot of them are going to be sold during the holiday season.
Yeah. And I'll say this. We as tech enthusiasts, we often forget that most people aren't operating on the same calendar that, let's be honest, us and our viewers are. And so when it comes to things like iOS updates, most of my friends, I would say, are probably still on iOS 18. There's a lot of people that will wait months or even years to even know what is current. I mean, the best example I could think of for that would be AirPods Max. Remember when those came out in 2020? They really weren't a hot button. You know, they weren't getting a ton of traction, but I would say like 22 or 23, that's when everybody, all of a sudden, everyone was like, you know what? They're cute. Let's get them. We're AirPods maxing it up. And they, all of a sudden, they're everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. I do see them in public, honestly, a decent amount, which I feel like was not the case like when they came out.
Yeah, for like 2 years, you barely saw them. And then all of a sudden, they were everywhere. I wonder, by the way, if that's going to happen with the iPhone Air, because I made that remark about the iPhone Airs flying off the shelves, and you know, some people picked up on that. They said, no, final verdict, iPhone 17 Air is a lemon. I don't know. This is one of the first times where I have felt completely disconnected from the rest of the tech industry. Because everybody looks at the iPhone Air as a failure. But here we are now almost a month. No, it's almost 2 months after launch. God, that went by fast. It's been like, I don't know, 5-6 weeks now since I've had this phone. Look, it's right here. It's not going anywhere. A lot of people thought that I was capping when I said, I'm switching to the iPhone Air. This is what I'm doing. I'm so sold. I still have my iPhone 15 Pro Max. And I just sold my 16 Pro Max. And look, every time I pick up the previous phones, like this is the first time in a really long time where I pick up last year's phone and I go, whoa, how did I use this? This feels old. It feels it's chunky. It's heavy. It's bulky. This phone has legitimately changed the equation for me. And I will be really, really sad if they don't make another one of these, because this is what I think the iPhone should be.
No, I completely agree with you. Like, literally, we've had this phone for 5 or 6 months. Here's mine. And, like, was literally earlier today or yesterday, I was holding this thing and looking at it. I was like, God, this thing is so thin and beautiful. And I'm like, I've had this for, like, 5 or 6 weeks. It's not new at this point, but I'm just still so amazed by how beautiful this phone is. And no, I completely agree with you. The thing that makes me a bit nervous is just the fact that, like, the iPhone mini had a pretty dedicated fan base as well. Maybe not to the extent of the Air. Maybe that was a little bit more niche than the Air is. I don't know. But the mini had a dedicated fan base, and that only lasted, what, 2 generations? And then they killed that off. There was a 12 mini and the 13 mini, and then that got killed off. I'm hoping the Air will stay, because I think, you know, the mini was arguably a little bit of a gimmick, or just like iPhone but smaller. I feel like the Air is sort of a signaling the future of the iPhone, so I really hope it'll stick around. But, you know, it makes me a little bit nervous, just given what Apple's done in the past.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, 100%. The Mini is giving me a lot of fear. I think I honestly am starting to think that we're going to get burned. I was really, really hoping when I was really hoping that this time it would be different, because I remember when the 12 and the 13 mini came out and I liked them, but I never really seriously considered using them because the mini battery life was abysmal. I really didn't like using the cramped screen. Like that was a phone where I was like, this is just not for me. And no promotion, all that stuff. Like I never really seriously considered using the mini for like long periods of time. I think I might even still have my 12 mini, actually. I gotta look around for it. I'm pretty sure, I don't think I ever got rid of it. It's still kicking around here somewhere. But it never really was a serious consideration for a phone that I would use every day. But the Air is totally different. The Air is a phone that it comes out and it makes other phones look old again. And I saw somebody, here it is. Oh, hi, Mark. Said, I returned my 17 Pro and got the Air. It has the soul of Steve Jobs, Apple, loving it. And that is exactly why I like it. It is a phone that is form over function. No doubt about it. You are making a disproportionate number of sacrifices to achieve it. But at the same time, it is just so delightful. And there are other comments saying the honeymoon just doesn't end. Like you said, Noah, we've had these phones 5-6 weeks. I still, almost every day, will have at least one moment where I just hold it up like this and I just go, wow, that is just crazy. It's just that's what the iPhone should be. I'm 100% convinced.
No, I agree. And I feel like, you know, just to give an example, you talk about the disproportionate sacrifices that you give up. And you definitely do give up a lot for the Mini. But I will say the biggest thing that I was worried about was the battery life. And I do think that it's still a concern, but I think it's manageable. I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I biked to SF from Mountain View. It was 45 miles. And I was using navigation on my phone. And I knew that it took 4.5 hours. It was 4.5 hours total to bike up to SF. And I knew that doing navigation for 4.5 hours was probably going to kill the battery on the phone. Yeah. And I was right. But I brought my little 5K Anker battery, the one that you gave me.
Oh, yeah.
I brought that. It's so thin. I just slipped it in one of my jersey pockets on my, you know, in my shirt. And sure enough, you know, a couple hours into the ride, the battery was getting low. And I just stuck the MagSafe battery on the phone. I put it back in the phone mount, and it didn't even make a difference to me at all. It was just a phone sitting in the phone mount. It didn't matter at all. And even when I got there and I put the phone in my pocket, like, yeah, it's obviously thicker with the battery, but it's not that much thicker than, like, the Pro Max or the Pro at that point. And so, yeah, it's a little bit annoying that you have these two separate components that you have to bring around, but, like, for most of the time when you don't need that battery, you don't bring it and you have a super thin phone. And for the times where you do need that battery, you know, just bring it with you and you have it when you need it. It's not that bad.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel the same way. I mean, my battery right now, I'm at 43%. That's like totally fine. It is 6 p.m. And I mean, look, I'll say this. I'm a pretty light user compared to a lot of other iPhone users. Like, I know that there are some people where, I mean, their entire job is on the phone. If you're a professional TikToker or if you work at a company doing social media, you're probably on your phone 7-8 hours a day. And, you know, if you have that much screen time, I can see how this would be an issue. But for me, I mean, I've had 3.5 hours of screen time, 1 hour 40 screen idle, and I've used 65% battery. That doesn't make sense. Because 65, well, that doesn't add up. But anyway, point being, I've actually used 57%, but whatever, in 3.5 hours. And that's been some navigation, some messaging, some camera, some TikTok, Apple Watch app, Instagram, Safari. You know, that's varied usage, just normal everyday usage. And I've actually never run out of battery. I've never had it die on me. I've had a couple of moments where, let's say I was on FaceTime a little bit, because obviously FaceTime kills the battery of any phone. So I've been on FaceTime for an hour during the day. I've had some navigation or some wireless CarPlay, stuff that drains the battery a bit more. And then I'm going out to do something in the evening and I'll, you know, pop it on the charger, on the fast charger for like 20 minutes. But beyond that, the battery has not been an issue for me. The lack of the ultra wide camera, that has been a little bit frustrating at times. But I will say, and I know this is going to sound like incredible cope, but I will say, sometimes if I need to take an ultra wide picture, what I'll do is just flip the phone around and take one of those. Take a front facing ultra wide, like a lot of people do the 0.5 selfies, you know, where they're like, "Oh my gosh, me and my friends." I'll do that, but the opposite.
Yeah, I remember we did that when we were at the Hollywood Bowl, and we compared it. We took a picture of the stage, and we compared it to Sam's Pro Max, and like it was totally fine. The front facing, yeah, it's a little bit of a hack, but like, I don't know. It's good to have the option if you need it.
Yeah, I've used it a lot actually, and I mean, it's goofy. It's a little bit doofy, I'll admit. And when we did that comparison, you know, you could definitely tell that the quality is not as high as the 48 megapixel ultra wide. Fair enough. But in a pinch, if you need a little bit more, why am I blanking on the word? Area, for lack of a better word. Field of view. Yeah, there we go. In your picture. It's serviceable. And I don't know, man. There's just, I think that comment about it's Steve Jobs' iPhone really stuck with me. And I hope that people will be able to see it. I hope that it will be like AirPods Max, where in, you know, a year or a few months, hopefully for the sake of its future, people will, all of a sudden it'll become like a super trendy thing. And people will say, wait a minute, I like this thing. Because it's just such a sweet spot.
No, I agree. I really hope, yeah, obviously for the sake of the phone sticking around, but just in general, like, yeah, it's such a nice phone. I hope that Apple will keep doing it. I hope it'll get more popular. I hope obviously that Apple will, in the future versions, they'll be able to fix some of these compromises. So not just like, oh, the phone will get the newest chip or whatever, but like, hey, add back the second speaker. The one speaker is doable, but add back the second speaker, add a second camera. I don't know if that's possible. Whatever. Fix a few of the things and it'll be a lot better.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see how Apple improves on that. My worry is that like with the Mini or like with Vision Pro, they kind of just let it flounder for a little bit too long. And I mean, look, I kind of worry about that with Vision Pro as well, as a good example. I didn't buy the M5 Vision Pro because why would I do that? That's A, no one's going to watch the video. B, I never use the dang thing. C, it's dumb. So there you go. That's kind of rules that out. I feel like, I don't know. I think honestly, the iPhone Air and Vision Pro kind of have some similarities. Obviously, For Vision Pro, you and I are in the it's a flop group. For the Air, we're in a it's a hit group, which seems to be the minority opinion. So we're kind of inverted versus some people that really are Vision Pro power users. I think there's about 7 of them, but there are some people that like it. And I feel like the issue for both of them that I think is different from the Steve Jobs era would be that in the Steve Jobs era, Apple wouldn't have made either a product if they weren't 100% committed to it. because stuff like the MacBook Air, I keep coming back to that example because it seems so obvious. It's like, oh, well, yeah, of course people like the MacBook Air. But the original MacBook Air wasn't like that. The original MacBook Air was very much like the iPhone Air, if you think about it. It had the same processor, you know, Core 2 Duo, as a lot of the other MacBooks, but a horrifically bad cooling system, which meant that it was thermal throttly, it ran hot, it was slow. They used iPod hard drives that were catastrophically slow. They were unreliable, the battery life was short, and they were way too expensive. So it would have been very, very easy to look at the original MacBook Air in the same way that you look at the iPhone Air, right? You could very easily say, well, look, the MacBook Pro has better battery life, more Pro features, it runs faster, it doesn't sacrifice on hard drive speed, it doesn't sacrifice on speaker quality or I/O selection. Why would I possibly get a MacBook Air, right? That's the exact same argument that people are having right now. But because Apple knew people would want an ultralight MacBook, they stuck with it. And it took them a little while, right? In 2009, they updated it a little bit. We had better cooling. The processors were a little bit better. They fit. They made the SSD cheaper. They made the battery life a little bit longer from a better, you know, better optimization. And then in 2010, they redesigned it with the iconic, you know, wedge MagSafe MacBook Air. So they stuck with it and they said, we are committed to this product. And now the MacBook Air is their best-selling laptop. And they did that because they knew what its potential could be before the public did. But in the past 5 years especially, Apple seems way more cautious and way less confident. They've been, you know, they said, oh, hey, here's the iPhone 12 mini. Oh, no, you didn't like that. Okay, here's an iPhone 14 Plus. Oh, no, you didn't like that one. Okay, here's the Air. Like, they're not committing to it. They're not saying, look, we get that it's not right, but we can make it work. They're just saying, oh, never mind. Sorry.
No, I agree. And to your point, like, the MacBook Air is now the default Mac.
Yep.
Like, that is the Mac, right? There's no MacBook anymore. There's just the Air and the Pro, and the Air is the default that at 90% or definitely a majority of people would be more than happy to have. I would be more than happy to have a MacBook Air at this point.
Yep.
And so to your point, like, yeah, the MacBook Air, you could argue that it had a bit of a rocky start and it was, you know, more expensive and there were trade-offs compared to the original, but Apple did put the time and effort in to making it not only a great computer, but like the computer, like that's the Apple laptop or the default Apple laptop. And so hopefully, I agree, if Apple can fix some of the shortcomings with the Air, if they can add the second speaker, if they can add at least one more camera, and fix the battery life, improve the battery life, if they can do those things, then, you know, the Air could be the default phone potentially, like the regular one could take on from that, or however Apple is going to position it. They could still make the Air be the mid-tier, they could make it a however they want to do it, but like if they put the effort into it, the Air will be great, but and it's already pretty good, but they can definitely make it great, but they have to put in the effort, and I hope they do.
I think if we go by that analogy of the Air being the default, I think you could very easily look at this in a similar way to the MacBook lineup of the 2010s, right? Before the iPhone. I mean, I guess at that point, the MacBook was kind of what the iPhone is now, because back then you would have had a laptop as your primary internet communication device because the iPhone was still kind of getting there, right? So 9 out of 10 times, whether you're a student, whether you're a professional, whether you're just like, you know, your computer at home, it was your MacBook. And now, I mean, less people own MacBooks. I know several people who straight up do not have a laptop of any kind. They have a work computer and then they just have their phone and that's it. And as crazy as that is, that's the reality for a lot of people. So I think that analogy holds up pretty well. you could very easily look at the iPhone Air as the MacBook Air, the iPhone 17 as the regular MacBook, and the Pro as the, well, the Pro. So I would love it if in 2 years' time, let's say, then there is no longer an iPhone, you know, number, let's call it. There is Air and there is Pro. I honestly feel like that would make a lot of sense, because if you don't need as many features, you could get the Air and have something super duper thin. And then the Pro has that connotation of like, this has it all. Why not do that, right? Fix a couple compromises in the Air, but then in 2 years' time, as parts prices go down, make that $799 single camera, maybe double if we're feeling particularly generous. And why not do that, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, when the iPhone Fold comes out, that'll be up at the top.
Oh God. And wait, yeah, I just thought about that. Are they gonna have 18 Air, Pro, Pro Max, Fold, 5 different iPhones?
That's seems like a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, technically 4 if you count the Pro and the Pro Max is like, you know, the same thing or whatever. But still.
Yeah.
That's I don't really know what to make of that. Okay, let's talk Fold, right? We're on the subject of iPhone. I mean, heck, there's no other news for the rest of the year. We're done. We might as well talk about the next year. Would you actually buy an iPhone Fold? I'll just say it right out front. Would you buy it?
I am so curious to see the way that Apple does it. I'm curious to see how iOS adapts to it. I'm curious to see how, like, I don't know, because, like, multitasking on the iPad has historically been a bit of a mess. I mean, right now there are 3 different modes that you can choose from for how you want multitasking to work. And then the question is, you take that and you put it in the phone, where sometimes it's an iPhone. I think Apple will nail switching between the folded mode and unfolded mode. I think Apple will have no problem with that, because all apps are built to scale to any display resolution, any screen size. Now, there could be optimization questions when you unfold the phone and it's this weird sort of square screen, but it's just like a very small iPad at that point. So I think that Apple will not have an issue with that, but I'm just curious if when you unfold it, it really is just like an iPhone with a giant screen, or if Apple can do something to really take advantage of the form factor. I think the more that Apple can do to make the Fold unique and to really take advantage of all of that, the better it'll be. But I'm just so curious to see what they do. And I think that will determine, you know, how interested I am in it.
Yeah. No, I think I feel a similar way. And from what we've heard with the rumors saying basically that the iPhone Fold is just 2 of these bad boys put together, right? So the weight, it's a little heavy. I've done it. I've borrowed a Fold, put them together. It's the thickness is reasonable, a lot, but reasonable. The weight is especially after switching to the iPhone Air, the weight's a little tough, I'll be honest. Yeah. What I'm mainly curious about is the multitasking. You kind of touched on that a little bit. I think it's really interesting that Apple has never really done multi-app multitasking on the iPhone. And I think, frankly, they're right for doing that, because I personally would much rather just kind of swipe back and forth, you know, on the bottom bar to go between apps than having just, you know, itty-bitty microscopic multi-view split-screen apps on my phone. And a lot of the Android phones have that, and a lot of Android boys will make fun of the iPhone and be like, oh my God, we've had multitasking for years. And I'm like, buddy, I don't want it. Sorry. Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to just be like, ooh, poking around these tiny little buttons? No, get that out of here. But with the Fold, you kind of have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. On the current iPhones, like, keep in mind, when you're talking about iOS, you're talking about the Pro Max and you're talking about well, I guess the Pro, because that's the same screen size as the regular. Like, mm-hmm. you're talking about small screens and big screens. And not to say that Apple has never, you know, they could theoretically say, oh, the Pro Max gets multitasking and because it has a big enough screen and nothing else does. I don't think Apple would do something like that. And so, yeah, I agree with you to the point that, like, if you split two apps on the iPhone, they're each going to be so tiny that it's, like, hard for them to be useful individually, let alone together, right? Because you could imagine, oh, you know, I have these two apps that are split screen, but it's like, if each one is that small, is that app really going to be that useful? Mm. And then can you really put two apps next to each other such that they're both useful while being on screen at the same time? I don't know about that. But like you said, when you unfold the iPhone Fold and you basically have essentially two iPhone screens right next to each other, that's the perfect chance for you to do multitasking and have two full apps side by side. And then I could absolutely see that being useful. And I hope that Apple does that. And I think that they could honestly keep it pretty simple for the iPhone Fold. They don't need to do window management and like all the crazy stuff that you can do on the iPad. They can just say you have one big app or you have two apps side by side. I don't know if they would do the slide over thing. I think that's a bit much. I think just simpler is better, but I absolutely agree that multitasking could potentially be a big deal for the Fold.
Yeah, because to be honest, I feel like multitasking would only really be useful on a Fold. Because, like, if you're talking about, you know, rectangle, right, you kind of have to go, okay, we can go top to bottom, we can go left to right. Left to right is ridiculous. Why would I want, you know, that little hot dog app? That's not going to happen. Top to bottom, sure, fair enough. But, you know, you take any iPhone, even a Pro Max, and you split that screen into two different apps, and it's going to be really tiny and hard to use. Not to mention, if you pull up a keyboard, the whole bottom app is gone, right? So, like, I don't really see – I don't see any reason for multitasking on the regular iPhone. So the Fold could make that doable. But then the question becomes, how would that look? Would it be like iPad windows where you can drag them and resize them? Or would it be like slide over where you swipe it in, or maybe you swipe up on the bottom and it brings up the home dock, the, you know, those commonly used apps, and then you drag it over? Is it going to just be effectively iPad OS, or do they, you know, work on some other like slide over gesture that brings up the app library? You know, how would any of this work? How do they make, you know, ProMotion OLED displays that maybe they can finally solve that crease issue that every foldable phone has? Then there's the issue of the aspect ratio, because if it is just two iPhone Airs put together, it's going to be almost exactly a perfect square. What do you do with a square aspect ratio? Because if you watch TikTok, well, you're going to have enormous black bars on the sides. If you watch YouTube, you're going to have enormous black bars on the top or bottom. And because it's a square, you know, that you might as well just watch it on your normal phone like this. It's going to be the same amount of screen space for the video. Nobody's uploading square content, nor will they, because the foldable isn't going to be an industry standard. So I just don't know how how is the ecosystem of a smartphone going to adapt to the foldable environment?
Yeah, I think that's the big question. I think multitasking is going to be the big thing for the Fold. Personally, I would like to see Apple keep it simple. I'd like to see you can either have one big app, and that could be useful for some things. For example, looking at pictures, or, you know, doing photo editing or drawing or something, and having that bigger canvas. It could definitely be some of the things that you use an iPad for. You could definitely benefit from having that bigger, you know, sort of squarish, rectangularish screen. And then other than that, I think you could do split two apps vertically or split two apps horizontally. And I think that there could be some use there sometimes. Mm. I wanted to respond to this, some comments from Michael C., who was saying like...
Oh, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, we're talking about the multitasking. We're saying like, you can't envision a use case where you need to copy text from one app to another, Or you would need to write and see a note while you're writing a document. See some reference while you're also writing something. Like, can you not see that? The point that we're trying to make here is, yes, we absolutely can see all of those use cases, but they don't work on the current iPhone. There's two reasons. The first reason is that, like we were saying before, if you do split screen, you're going to be doing vertical. You're going to be splitting it top half of the screen, bottom half of the screen. And each of those apps are going to be very small. And so you're not even going to be able to see that much text that you want to copy, especially if there's a menu bar at the top and a tab bar at the bottom and, whatever else. Like all of the Chrome on all these windows, it's going to take up a lot of space. And the other reason, quite frankly, this is, I'll say this as a software developer, is that most, if not all of these apps are optimized. I did say, yes, they can scale. So a new iPhone, a 6.5-inch display comes out, or Apple does a 6.6-inch display or something. And all the apps will run fine. But they do generally assume that they're running on rough aspect ratio. They're running on a tall rectangular display or landscape mode, whatever. But if you just try to run the existing apps on, you're basically saying take a square, you take a very small square and cram your app in there, that would require a lot of effort and buy-in from the developers, the ones that use the built-in Swift UI and UIKit, whatever. Maybe it would be easier for them, but there would still be all that extra UI stuff that they would probably need to hide or deal with. But people that are working with custom components or other frameworks would need to put in a lot of effort to support this weird aspect ratio that doesn't exist right now. And it would just be a lot of effort to the point where I don't think that it would be that valuable to have two tiny little apps running side by side. Like you said before, you pull up a keyboard and one of your apps is gone. It's just so much easier to copy some text in one app, flick over to the other app, and paste it in there. And that's what the Fold would let you do. It would let you have two full apps side by side or above and below. And that's where the value would come in. Not on the current iPhones, but on the Fold. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, and I agree. And honestly, even still on the Fold, I think you'd have that issue with the keyboard, because the keyboard's still gonna come up on the bottom half of the screen. So you're still gonna have that issue. And I have a perfect example of a rebuttal to this, the comment that you mentioned from Michael here saying, could you never envision wanting to see a note you wrote concurrently with a document? The answer is no. I can't imagine doing that, because I've pulled up some example here, right? We have a document. Don't ask why I have the press brochure from the 2010 Mercedes S-Class. Just that's the what I found, okay? We've got a document here, and I've got a note over here, right? That's the exact scenario that he's described. But you'll notice, like I said, when I have my keyboard open, if I had the document down there, it's gone. So then what I would have to be doing is constantly, dismissing the keyboard to see that other app. So if you wanted to, if you think about it from a workflow perspective, it's okay, open the Notes app, gesture, drag in the document that you want to see, adjust your split view, and then each time you need to change your attention back and forth between reading document and writing in note, you're pulling up the keyboard and then dismissing it and going back to looking at that. Whereas with the current version of iOS, all I have to do is swipe the bottom of the screen. Okay, there's my document, reading. Ah, very nice, let me write that down. Swipe back, there's my note, okay, writing, boop. Swipe back, there's the document. That, to me, is way easier because iOS is smart and it keeps the keyboard persistent. If I was typing in that app, the keyboard's still there. So if I'm gonna switch my attention from keyboard app to no keyboard app, I can also switch the keyboard without having to do another step, and I get to use the whole screen the whole time. So I really just don't think that you're gonna find that much utility. And I maintain this about Android phones as well. I have yet to see a compelling split screen Android phone. You know, some of the foldables will do it. And sure enough, if that's what you want to buy, then fair, go buy that. But in any other circumstance, I have never seen a single useful implementation of split screen multitasking on a rectangular smartphone.
Yeah, I agree. Because I feel like at the end of the day, if you are trying to like take notes on a document and you find the swiping back and forth annoying, what isn't going to solve it is having two apps in split screen. What's going to solve it is you just go to your iPad or your Mac at that point. And I mm-hmm. get that you're like, I want my phone to do everything. Like, why would you say that, like, why would you accept, you know, mediocrity and be like, oh, you know, my phone can't do multitasking, so I got to go use something else. Like, why is that acceptable? I don't know. I don't really want to do that involved of a thing on my phone. That's not really what a phone is meant for. I'm not saying you can't do it on a phone, but mm-hmm. like, I would rather just use a device that's better suited for it with an actual keyboard and a bigger screen. But the Fold does have a bigger screen and it does let you show the keyboard while having two apps open. And so, you know, maybe that'll work.
Yeah, no, I think that if anything, that would be the answer. But I kind of agree with this guy. iPad mini plus iPhone will always be the foldable IMO. And I feel like, I mean, if you think about it, right? Take the existing iPad mini and the existing iPhone Air. If I wanted to have a slightly bigger screen that was, you know, designed for light multitasking, because let's not make any mistakes about it, right? The iPhone Fold is still not going to be a Mac when it comes to multitasking. It's probably not even going to be an iPad, and the iPad is notoriously not great at multitasking. So, right, we got to set our expectations. But if an iPhone Air is $999 and an iPad Mini is $599, $1,600, you could have two separate devices. And then if you want to just have your ultra light phone, you can have that. If you want to have an iPad that has more space, you can put it in a backpack or a folder, bring it with you when you need it. And $1,600 for both of those devices, I almost guarantee is going to be less than the iPhone Fold. I think it's going to be, I mean, honestly, probably about that. I think it's going to be $1,600, maybe $1,799.
Yeah, I mean, that thing is not going to be cheap. But, like, to your point, you know, or to some of the things that we've been saying, you know, you asked me, like, would I consider the Fold? Would I buy the Fold? I really think that it's going to depend because, like, okay, with the Air, like, before the Air came out, we were hearing the rumors. My answer to the question, would you buy the Air, was I hope that I really want to, but I feel like the trade-offs are going to be too much and it's not going to be worth it. And it turns out, at least in my opinion, that that's not the case. I think that there are trade-offs, but I still think it's worth it despite the trade-offs. With the Fold, my reaction is almost like I don't know if I want to buy it because I really like the Air being so thin and so light. And especially, you know, the fact that I didn't get a Pro phone this year, or at least I didn't get the Pro Max this year, it's like kind of nice to not spend the max amount of money on a phone and not have this like big, thick, you know, big screen, whatever. It's nice to have this phone. And so to kind of go back in the other direction and get something that's a lot thicker and heavier, you know, I almost kind of don't want to get it for those reasons. But it's certainly possible that Apple can convince me otherwise, you know, depending on how they implement it and the features that it has and all that stuff. So it's almost – I almost have kind of the opposite reaction where I really wanted to like the Air, and I'm glad that I do. I almost kind of don't want to like the Fold or I don't want to get the Fold. But, like, you know, I have to see it before I can decide.
Yeah, that's a really good point actually, because it's – you know, I mean, you go back, watch – some of the previous episodes that we've done here, and we were talking about the iPhone Air, and it was basically like I don't really see the point of this, right? It seemed like a phone that was a glass half full, and what it was full of was compromises, and the rest of the phone was just kind of the same thing, but stripped down a little bit. And I was like, okay, I mean, sure, I guess it's kind of cool, but I couldn't imagine using it until I saw it. And then I was like, wait a minute, I really like that. And so maybe they'll get me with the Fold. I don't know, but I agree with you that I'm more biased against it than I am curious about it. And I think that stems from my dislike of other foldable phones, and I don't think any of them are very compelling. And to be honest, that's kind of how I felt about a lot of VR, AR headsets, and Apple didn't really change my opinion on that. So I've kind of gotten to a point now where I'm doubting Apple's ability. Because if you go back and watch some really old episodes from like early 2023, late 22, when we were talking about the rumors for Vision Pro, before we even knew it was going to be called Vision Pro, we were both really excited because we said at the time, look, Apple knows how to make those things work. They know how to take a technology that the other companies in the industry have been struggling with and see it from that perspective that makes it succeed. But the Vision Pro shook that foundation because it wasn't that. It was, if anything, less useful than a lot of existing VR and AR headsets. So for Apple to then, with that track record, turn around and say, let's take on the foldable market, I don't know, man. I really don't know. I almost think that what they should do is a slightly larger iPhone Air that folds vertically. That would be more interesting to me because I would like a phone that when it's folded is not really that much thicker than a Pro Max is regularly, but could be, you know, half that form factor, and then you open it up and it's an even bigger screen. That they could get me on. But a sideways fold, the hamburger, not the hot dog, I don't know, man.
See, okay, the vertical fold is interesting. I feel like when we talk about the iPhone Fold, we usually assume, you know, the horizontal fold, because that's what a lot of the flagships do, like the Pixel Fold and whatever. But I have mixed feelings about the vertical fold. Mm-hmm. I think the Pro would be, I could definitely see, do you think that when it's folded, when it's like closed, do you think there would be a screen on the outside?
For the actual, what we're hearing, which is the hot dog style?
No, the vertical.
Oh, the hamburger.
Flip
phone. Yeah, I think there would be a small screen, probably similar to how Samsung and what's the other one that does it? LG? No.
I'm blanking. I don't remember.
Motorola. Sorry, the Z Flip. Motorola.
Oh yeah, because see, I could see that being pretty cool in terms of like Apple has obviously like watchOS. But they've also brought, you know, like the little lock screen widgets, their little buttons and the displays and live activities and all of this stuff. I could see them making a lot of use out of that little screen on the front. You can customize it just like your lock screen. You can put pictures there. You can put the clock. You can put, you know, quick actions and stuff. You can maybe use it as like a viewfinder for the camera, for like selfies, if the camera is near the screen and the thing's shut, you know, the camera is facing you and you can take a selfie. I don't know. I could see them making a lot of use out of that little screen with the sort of components or the current software that they have. So I could definitely see that. But I'm wondering how like useful it actually would be to have a hamburger style fold, just in terms of like, okay, this phone, yeah, it's tall, but I feel like we're so used to that, and it's like it's not really a problem for fitting in my pocket. We're like, oh, I wish that it weren't so tall so that it could fit in my pocket. I'm just wondering, like, what would the real benefit be if it's half as tall and twice as thick? If, like, that was a mode that you could put the phone in, what's the real benefit that people are going to be like, oh, yeah, I really need that? I don't know how much I see it, to be honest.
That's a good point. I don't really know. I don't think there really is a good, compelling reason to have a phone fold in half in either direction, frankly. I feel like somebody said this earlier, but somebody said that a foldable phone is a solution in search of a problem. And I absolutely agree. And I think that really is the big problem in tech these days, is we've reached this point of maturity where, like, the smartphone as a concept especially is so tried and true. It kind of reminds me of, like, I'm trying to think of a good historical example. It's kind of like a TV, right? Big rectangle with picture on it. What is there really to do? You've got a rectangle in your pocket with some cameras and a screen of varying sizes that shows you information. The apps that we have are all perfectly calibrated to work with that, you know, vertical 9x16 rectangle, give or take the aspect ratio being roughly similar. Everything is, you know, vertical feeds, vertical scrolling. We've got swipe gestures. We've got Face ID. We've got cameras. What more do you really want? What do you do with a package that's that well tailored to what people do with them?
Yeah, and I feel like that's where the air, you know, being so thin and light, there is a benefit. It's just like a less bulky thing that you have. You have your phone in your pocket like all the time. It's a less bulky thing that you have in your pocket. It's a nicer thing to hold in your hands when you're using it. Like, there is, you know, you can argue how big of a benefit that is and if it's worth the trade-offs, but, like, at least there's something there. And I agree, you can say, like, okay, the foldable phone, let's take the hot dog style phone that, you know, Google does. You can argue, like, yeah, it gives you a bigger screen, and that is absolutely true, and that's something that you don't get without a foldable. But, you know, to your point, it's kind of an awkward aspect ratio for that screen, that it's like, can you really take advantage of that screen space and do something meaningful with it? Maybe with multitasking. I don't know how often you want to multitask. If you're not multitasking, I don't know, looking at pictures, like movies and videos are really not going to take that much advantage of it. You're going to have huge black bars. It's just like, I don't know. And is Apple going to figure something out? Is there something to figure out for that? I don't know.
Yeah. I think is there something to figure out is a great way to put that, because frankly, you know, I mean, and it's kind of the same on the MacBook too, right? It's been 25 years that we've had this form factor. The PowerBook G4 2001 Titanium, that was the first modern laptop. And they've all looked more or less the same since then, you know, give or take a couple of tweaks. There's even less that you can really tweak when it's an iPhone, right? It's a rectangle. There's not that much you can do to a rectangle. But at the same time, it, you know, it's not really the public's job to figure out what that should be. It's the tech company's job. And I think that what we're also dealing with is this, it's kind of a twin convergence of, one, the sort of slowing down of Moore's Law. We're not able to revolutionize and completely turn over the world of tech in a 3-year cycle. It takes a lot longer now. There's just more manual labor involved in creating the next generation of things. And we're also dealing with this, like, usability sweet spot, right? It's hard to make tech better, and the existing tech is so freaking good that there's not really that much incentive to change it, at least from the user perspective. Back in the day, I mean, think about when the iPhone came out. There were some really god-awful phone concepts at that time. You had, like, those little round ones. You had the slidey phones, you had the candy bar phones, you had the partial, you know, little square screen with a keyboard on the bottom. You had phones that had a screen that slid up for the keyboard to come out, phones that slid sideways. You had the T-Mobile Sidekick, the Motorola Razr. It was a mess. Everyone was trying a bunch of stuff, and a lot of it was crap. So it made sense that Apple would come in and say, "What is that? What the hell is that? I don't know. Maybe there is still something. Maybe our rectangles and our scrolling, maybe the problem now is too much phone. How do you get people off their phones? I thought it was the iPhone Air. But apparently people don't want to get off their phones. I don't know, man. It's just a really weird time to be covering tech, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of rough because, you know, we've said before that, like, what's the next big thing going to be? Maybe it's going to be glasses, AR glasses that can, you know, show you what you need to know, when you need to know it, right in your peripheral vision. And you don't have to have this, like, dedicated device to access it. It's just, like, there. Mm. Like, that's what we have said is the future. But I feel like that future is quite a while away. I mean, I'm sure Apple's working on these glasses, but, like, I mean, look at the state of Vision Pro right now. I'm sure they have something better than that internally, but we're not at the glasses yet. That's going to be a while. I mean, you've seen, like, the Meta had their new glasses recently, and it's cool, but it's, like, I mean, if you think about just how polished the phone experience is these days, it's going to be a long time before the glasses, not only can they match what, like, you need to do with the phone, but let alone the polish and all of the experiences and, like, everything you could do on a phone. Like, it's going to be a long time before there's mass adoption of the next thing. And so then the question is, what's going to happen in the meantime? Are we going to just get these incremental updates for a really long time until that eventually happens? Like, you know, the Air is great. This being super thin is great. The new selfie camera that all the iPhones got this year is super cool. Like, that's a great feature. I'm not saying that Apple and you know, tech in general isn't moving, but is it going to just be these incremental upgrades that we've had for the past few years for another decade until these glasses are ready for mass adoption? Is that how it's going to be? Are we going to find some stepping stone in between the two? I don't know.
Yeah, and, like, we also have to consider that when it comes to the glasses, are we really, you know, you said it's going to be a while before we can match, let alone replace the functionality or improve upon the functionality of an iPhone. But also, I feel like a device that goes on your wrist or in your pocket versus anything that's on your head is a very different world. Because, obviously, phones, pockets, easy. A wrist for a smartwatch, that's pretty easy too, because a wristwatch or a bracelet, like, that is a commonly accessorized area. But glasses is going to be tricky because that's something that you present to the world every single day. And it's also something that, like, if you do wear glasses every day, and, you know, like you do, where you, it is your choice to, instead of doing contacts, to wear glasses. And so in so doing, you want those glasses to be a reflection of your personality and style. So they look, those are your glasses, right? I see that and I think Noah. If it's an Apple glasses where, I mean, okay, maybe there's a couple different frames, maybe there's a couple different styles. They're never going to be the level of variety that regular glasses are. Like, I don't know anybody, any of my friends who wear glasses where two of them have the same kind. It's like, oh yeah, those are your glasses. I've never seen anyone else wear those. So the idea that, like, all of a sudden everyone's walking around with very similar looking pairs of glasses on their face, I don't buy it. I just don't buy it.
That's fair. And, like, I'm kind of curious because, like you said, I wear glasses every day. But yeah, these are ones, I picked these out, I wanted them to be red because I like red. I think it's fun to have a little pop of color and not just have black or gray or dark blue glasses. No offense to anyone that has that. But I chose these because I think they're cool and I like them. But, like, yeah, to your point, if Apple only had a few frame options, it wouldn't be the same. But I want to ask you, because you don't wear glasses and you've never worn glasses, so would you wear Apple glasses and make that part of your everyday fit?
I'm not going to lie. No. Not a chance. I just wouldn't. There's no way that I would wear. I'm seeing comments here. Apparently our stream is frozen.
That's weird.
That is weird. Well, this is a pickle here, because do we continue the podcast knowing that there's audio listeners, or do we stop it because the live people can't see us? That's a pickle.
I mean, we're about to end, I think.
Yeah.
We could wrap it up.
I think it's time to wrap it up. We're about to end anyway. Oh, and
Saying it's back.
They're saying it's back anyway. So look at that. We're all good. Per your question, would I wear glasses? This is something that I've been thinking about a lot, because obviously with Vision Pro, like that's too much. I can't do that for more than honestly even half an hour in those things. It's brutal.
Yeah.
But when it comes to glasses, like I can do, if I'm out on, you know, on a trip, especially a road trip, you know, something for the car channel, then I'll wear sunglasses for like hours a day. But that is kind of like to serve a purpose. And I think if it were to be something that it's like literally on my face every day in the same way that an Apple Watch is, that would be a really tough sell, because I like the field of view and the range of vision that I have without glasses. And even with like, you know, a nice big pair of aviators, which is what I typically go for sunglasses, you still see the frames, the smudges on the lens. I'm always taking them off and cleaning them. It's always preferable to me to not have glasses on. And so there is that inherent obstacle with the Apple glasses where no matter how cool and useful they are, would I wear them all day? Almost certainly no. I certainly wouldn't want to.
Yeah, and that just made me think, because like I have these glasses and I also have a set of prescription sunglasses, and I wear those whenever I'm outside in the sun, driving or biking or walking or whatever. And technically I have a set of I guess they're like reading glasses or whatever. I have them at my desk at work, and they're supposed to be better for my eyes because I don't need to focus as far when I'm like sitting at my computer screen. So I'm supposed to use those. And so I'm just like, yeah, I didn't even think about it. Like I have technically three pairs of glasses, two that I regularly use. Am I going to have two sets of Apple glasses? Is there going to be, you know, sunglasses, like inserts that go in them to turn them into sunglasses, which is something that you can do on normal glasses sometimes? Like, yeah, it's a good point. I kind of just figured that was going to be the next thing, but maybe not. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, and this comment here is quite accurate. This person doesn't wear an Apple Watch because I want to wear different watches I like. I'm in that same boat. After a couple of years on the Apple Watch, you know, I like a wristwatch. I've been wearing watches since I was like a kid. And after a couple of years of Apple Watch, I kind of went, this is boring, you know, because every time I wanted to change, I would just change my watch face, but it's still an Apple Watch. I went Ultra, and then I went back for the Series 10 Titanium. I've tried a couple different things, but in the end, I went back to wearing a regular watch, because you just have so many more options and ways of expressing personality. Not to mention, it's an automatic watch, and it, you know, it just winds itself. So I never charge it. I put it on every day and I never have to touch it. It's great.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be really interesting to see where Apple and the tech industry in general go in the future. Facebook, Meta is obviously trying to go in on these glasses. We'll see how that goes. We'll see if Apple makes a foldable. I just feel like the phone, you know, like we've said, the phone has kind of been perfected, or maybe not perfected, but like I can't imagine it going that much farther than it is right now. And maybe I'll eat my words in a couple years and there will be some magical new phone development. But like as far as the smartphone goes, I don't know. There's got to be something next, and we'll just have to see what it is.
I'll tell you what's not going to be next is an episode next week or for the rest of the month, I fear.
Well, what about the 16th? Maybe?
Oh, yeah, the 16th. Yeah. Okay. that's fine then. It's only 2 weeks. We'll see you in two weeks.
Yeah, two episodes in a month is pretty good.
That's pretty high for us. I ain't gonna lie. Look, it's been dire straits for a little bit, but we'll figure it out.
For sure.
Well, in the meantime, I've been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. Thank you for watching or listening, and have a great night.
Oh, we both saluted. That's so cute. Good night.
Good night.